Guys, go ahead and be seated. How's everybody doing tonight? Yes, fantastic. Love that. That is good news. One of the cool things about being a dad, there's a lot of cool things about being a dad, but one of the things that I love, because I've got three boys, in case you don't know me, maybe you're new here. I got three boys, Crider, Finn, and Garnet. Crider's 4, Finley's 2, and Garnet's 8 months. So me and Garnet don't talk a lot yet. He just kind of crawls around a lot, but we're bonding. But my other two boys, we talk a lot, and I get to hear kind of their perspective on a whole lot of things. And what's really neat about being a dad of three kids under the age of 4 is I get to see the world through their eyes. And it's just amazing to see the world through the eyes of toddlers. And the way they see things, the way they understand the world. And really, it's just a cool perspective because for them, the world is completely innocent in almost every respect. And they really don't get how the whole world works. So it's just kind of fun to live life vicariously through them. Like for them, their whole day is like what Disney show we're going to watch when we first wake up. And then what we're going to eat for breakfast, what toy we're going to play with, and how many packs of gummies we're going to eat. Like, that's pretty much their whole day. That's all of their decisions. That's like everything they do. That's all they think. And that's how the world kind of operates. And really, the only kind of really bad thing in life is nap time. Like, that's kind of it. Like, that's their only, like, oh, the world's a bad place because of nap time. And I'm always like, boys, I would love to have nap time. Like, it would be great if, somebody came up to me, like Brother Ricky, my boss, Corey, it's time for nap time. It's 2 o'clock. Take a nap. Oh, I'd be like, yes, this is great. I get a nap time that somebody's forcing me to take. Like everything is good from their worldview. Like, it's just all is great. And they can't understand why daddy has to leave the house and go to work. Like, dad, why do you work? Like, I don't get, why do you go work? Like, they don't understand, like, you know, money, you have to buy things, and we have mortgage and insurance and life insurance and just all those things that's just, they have no clue about. So for them, it's just all just bliss. Like, the whole world, you ask them, how's life? And it's great. Life is awesome. It's gummies, Fruit Loops, Disney shows, and it's awesome. That's what we do. We play with trucks and animals all day long. But what's, every once in a while, reality, or I guess kind of the non-innocent parts of life, just get pushed in their faces. And it really just comes out of nowhere. And as a dad, when I see it, there's a moment where it's like, wow, how are we going to navigate around this? Because in their bubble, world's great, everything's great, everything makes sense, everything's perfect, life is great. And then all of a sudden, it's like this ray of light comes in their little world, and it's a ray that really reveals the world is not how they see it. The world's really very broken and very harsh, and there's a lot of bad things that happen in the world we live in. Like, for instance, today at lunch, I come to the office at 8, and then I take Crider back to home because he's at school from 8 to 11. We go back, eat lunch, and then I come back here. So at lunch today, Mimish comes over. We're having a conversation at lunch. Everything's going great. We're hanging out. We're talking about lunch. And Mom is telling about last night when Dad had to go and visit Uncle Jerry because he's about to die. And Crider just popped up. And Mom was just casually mentioned that, went to the hospital because Uncle Jerry is about to die. And when it left her mouth, like, she realized, I probably shouldn't have said that. Because all of a sudden, Crowder's like, huh? And we're kind of trying to have the conversation. He's like, who's Uncle Jerry? And we're like, Uncle Jerry, it's your papaw's uncle. You probably don't know. I mean, we're kind of like speeding the conversation on, avoiding the D word. And he's like, yeah, it's just, you know, and he says, why is he about to die? Crowder's 4. You know, it's like, okay, worldview, life's happy, everything's great. What? What's happening to Uncle Jerry? And then we have to try to explain the best way we can about the cancer and different things. And we're trying to kind of explain this to him, and then he's, well, can I go see him? Can I go meet him? Is he coming back? Like what's going to happen after that? I mean, it's this whole, like, just his little worldview of gummies and Fruit Loops and Disney shows just got radically altered at this lunch. When all of a sudden now he realizes, wait, The world's not the perfect Disney world that I envisioned it is in my little world. But man, there's a whole other side to the world that is very broken and very dark. And there's all kinds of bad things that are happening all around us. And what he got to see is just kind of the veil lifted for just a moment. A veil that we don't like to talk about, that we like to ignore even as students and adults. And the veil, the reality that we live in a fallen world and things are very broken. So what we're going to do for the next several weeks is we're going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're not going to look at the whole thing. We're going to pick different sections of it. But what I think the writer is doing, who I think is King Solomon, is he's basically going to stand before the people and he's going to say, look, guys, I'm going to kind of lift the veil. I'm going to kind of tell you that life, it's not good. It's kind of bad. And there's a lot of bad things that happen, and it's really hard. And for some of you sitting in your chair, when you hear that, you can kind of feel that. Yeah, man, that's my experience. Life is tough. You don't know what happened this week. You don't know what happened last week. You don't know what's happening in my home. You don't know what happens in my heart. You don't know what's going on. Man, this world, it really does hurt. It really is hard. So what Solomon is going to do is he's going to kind of talk about those hard things that we deal with in life. Because I think for Solomon, as an old man, he's looking at the younger crowd who are kind of in that mode where it's like, everything's great. My life's great. It's awesome. I'm pursuing this. I'm pursuing that. It's all great. Like they have their chariots with a bumper sticker, like, life is good. You know, those bumper stickers or the shirts. Like, life is good. It's awesome. And Solomon's saying, no, it's not. Life is not good. Life is actually really, really bad, is what Solomon's going to tell us. Now you're like, okay, what are we doing here? We're going to study a book that tells us how bad life is. Yeah, pretty much. That's what we're going to do with Ecclesiastes. Because I think we need to take a real honest look at the world around us. But we're not going to be left hopeless. We're not going to be left with, man, we're in a broken world, so I guess we just, man, it's just over. No, Solomon is going to give hope past this world, hope past the brokenness that we see. So I want us to first look at Ecclesiastes and just look at the first chapter. And if you've noticed, you've been passing out cards about empty. Here's kind of the big summary of the whole series. Life without God, it's empty. Just period. Life without God is completely empty. And it can seem like it's so great and everything's great, but it will prove to be empty, worthless vanity unless you are connected to the God of the universe. If you're not connected to him, then you can try as hard as you can to fulfill yourself in this life, but it's not going to be enough. You're going to be left wanting. You're going to be left empty. So what Solomon is going to do is he's going to speak very frankly to the people that he's talking to. So we're going to go to Ecclesiastes. Now, probably half of you have no idea where Ecclesiastes is. So what we're first going to do is work on Bible drill, because we're going to go into Ecclesiastes a lot. So everybody kind of do your Bible like this. And what we're going to do is we're going to go right to the middle, okay? Hopefully in the middle you hit Proverbs. You might have hit Psalms, okay? If you hit Psalms, keep flipping towards the back and you'll hit Proverbs, okay? Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. So it's actually a very easy book to find. Go to the middle, just bank it open. If you're in Psalms, keep flipping. Proverbs, keep flipping. If you're in Ecclesiastes, you're good. If you're in Isaiah, put reverse and back up. And then you'll hit Ecclesiastes. 12 chapters long, so it's actually a pretty good-sized book, so it's hard to kind of just miss. So, Ecclesiastes looks like that. Everybody got it? Ecclesiastes. So, if you would stand out of reverence for the Word of God, we're going to read, and this is kind of the introduction to our series, Empty, from Ecclesiastes. Here's what the Word of God says. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That means emptiness, vapor, completely meaningless. So his whole summary of life is it's all meaningless. He's very optimistic. What does man gain by all the tool at which he tools under the sun? So he's asking a question. What does man gain by this life? Here's what he says. A generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun goes down, it hastens to the place where it rises, the wind blows to the south and goes around to the north, around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full, to the place where the streams flow, and they flow again. All things are full of weariness, a man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It's already been in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my heart to seek out, to search out wisdom, all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. Father God, I pray that you help us to see this book of wisdom, that we would see life as it truly is. Disconnected from you, it's meaningless, but connected to you, it is full of meaning and life. We pray this in the good name of Jesus. Amen. You guys may be seated. So he just kind of starts off, and he's not like, hey guys, life's good, you're good, get your hopes and dreams ready and chase them because you can be the best you can be. No, it's like, okay guys, I'm old and I've lived my life and I'm wise and I'm rich and I've got everything I could ever want, and here's what I added all up, and here's what it is. This whole thing we call life, it's just vanity. Now that word vanity, that's a word that we need to kind of be familiar with, because it's a word that repeats itself all throughout the book. Some 30 times, vanity is used in this book. And vanity, it means meaningless. It's nothingness. One commentator described it as, you know when you blow up a bubble, like a soap bubble? Have you guys seen a soap bubble before? It's in the bath, it's like flying around. And then you poke it, what happens? It pops. Have you ever noticed what happens after it pops? There's nothing. It's kind of like, there might be like some gooey something. That's what vanity is. That's what this word means. Here's what he says life is. It's like when you pop a soap bubble and it's just that gooey residue that's left over. It's nothing. There is no value whatsoever in this life. All right, guys, let's close in a word of prayer. It's like, what? Like, is that from the Bible? Life is worthless. You're worthless. Let's all pack up and go home. I mean, that's kind of what he's saying. It's like, okay, hold on, Solomon. I'm not tracking with you. Like, give us, like, you know, our 10 steps to be a happier person. He's like, here's, I'm going to gather you all together. That's what that preacher means. It means he's gathering assembly. He's giving wisdom. Hey, guys, just pack it up and go home because it's not worth it. The whole thing is a sham. Life is a sham. God's given us this busyness to be busy with our whole lives, but it's just meaningless. It's just worthless. So go home. Just go. It's not even worth it. So, okay, so what is going on in this book? Because this seems a little, anybody kind of lost, like, is this church? Thought this was to be like, you know, God created me, and like, what's going on here? Well, there's a key phrase that I want us to point out in this book, because I think it unlocks the entire book. It's the phrase, under the sun. That's a key phrase. It repeats itself some 30 times in the book. Like vanity, it's also extremely important. And here's the phrase, life under the sun. Here's kind of Solomon's thesis statement. Here's what he wants to figure out. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils? Where? Under the sun. Under the sun. To toil and to gain. That gain, it means to have something left over. In other words, to profit you. In other words, what does your life really profit? What is it gaining you? Is there true satisfaction to be had in this life? Can you be happy just living this life, is what he's asking. Can we be happy as people living our life on planet Earth for the things that everyone's living for? And his conclusion is going to be absolutely not. It doesn't fulfill you. It doesn't work. And he's going to explain that all throughout the book. So I'm just kind of setting up the introduction. But there's one phrase under the sun that is crucial that you get. Okay? So what does under the sun mean? Well, everybody just look up at the sun for a moment. Pretend like the sun's here. Okay? So, pinpoint where the sun would be. Kind of raise your hand up and hold it to the sun. Everybody got the sun? All right, now draw a line from the sun to here. Okay, so that's what we're dealing with. All of this part of life. All of life where? Under the sun, okay? So you can put your hands down. For those of you who are sitting by someone who played dodgeball, I apologize because I can see your eyes are watering now. And you're like, oh, you're like, deodorant, please. Life under the sun. What's this phrase mean? Here's what I think he's talking about. He's saying, here's what life under the sun is. It's life without the thought of how God created the world and how God is our sustainer and how I have a relationship with God. In other words, it's looking at life apart from God. Okay? So this is kind of his whole quest throughout the book. He's going to take a very honest look at life apart from the presence of God. He's not looking above heaven, above the sun, where God is dwelling. He's looking at below the sun. He's looking at just a earthly view. I mean, this would be a lot like our culture views life. It's a very secular view. Okay, let's exclude God. Let's believe in evolution, that we're all just kind of here by accident. We all kind of morphed out of the cesspool, and here we are. We're here. And so now we're all here. We're highly evolved animals, but we obviously know more things than all the other animals. So what are we supposed to do? Well, you've got basically 100 years to live, and then that's it. You die. It's a closed system. You don't come back. That's the end. So have a good 100 years is kind of what our worldview says. But there's a lot of problems with that. Okay, if there's no God and I only have 100 years and then I'm just gone forever, then why am I here? Like what am I doing? Our culture has a lot of answers. You're here to make money, to be happy, to pursue yourself and ambitions and live dreams. But wait, is that really? Like, if we're all just an accident and we're all just kind of here, then why even try that? Why even do that? And what we're left with in our culture is we see so many people that are chasing this worldview. Hey, we're going to just ignore God and we're going to pursue our own lives our own way. And guess what? Instead of being full, instead of being satisfied, they're left completely empty. So what we're going to do throughout this book is we're going to go down the roads of let's just exclude God and let's just try to fulfill ourselves with just this world. Let's try to live under the sun. Let's try to pursue fame and money and pleasure and wisdom and careers and all that stuff. And let's see if we can get full. And what Solomon is going to do is he's going to go before us as our big brother and say, look, there's a season in my life where I did all of that. I just excluded God and I went for it. And guess what? Instead of being full, it left me completely empty. So what I want us to do is not to do what Solomon did, but to learn from his example. He's gathering all the people together and saying, look, I've tried what you're trying. It doesn't work. It doesn't leave you satisfied. And sort of our summary of the series is life without God, it's empty. So the only way you're going to be satisfied, the only way you're really going to have those longings in your heart met, it's only through relationship with God. It's only living above the sun. It's only acknowledging that, yeah, this world is broken and it's crazy, but I'm trusting the Lord that he's good and I love him and I'm going to obey him no matter what's going on around me, because that is the only way that we can truly be full. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of spin this a little bit. And Solomon is just going to kind of rant a little bit about life. So I just want us to track with him a little bit. So he's going to start talking about life. And here's what he says, man, what does it gain by all the toil at which man has done under the sun? In other words, if you had the best life possible, just imagine that. You fulfilled all of your dreams. You accomplished everything. You're a bazillionaire. Would it make you happy? That's his question. Well, I don't know of any of you that have reached that. But there was an interview by a guy named Tom Brady. He's a really famous quarterback, and I just want you to hear from him for a few moments about what he says about life.
still think there's something greater out there for me. I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is, man, I think God, it's got to be more than this.
What's the answer?
Wish I knew. I love playing football. I love being a quarterback of this team. And, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of buzz about me that I'm trying to find.
So there's kind of the guy that's there. Like, he's lived the life that we all, in some way, maybe not you're like wanting to be a pro athlete, but in some way he's there. He's got all the money, all the fame he could ever want. He can do anything he wants in this world. And everyone's just baffled because he says, look, here's the deal. I got 3 Super Bowl rings. I'm living every male's dream on planet Earth. I've got girls. I've got money. I've got fame. I've got Super Bowl rings. And guess what? Not happy. Man, I know what you're telling me. I should be happy because all of y'all are pursuing this. You've got my jersey on. You're like, go, 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 Tom. But man, I'm not happy. And there's something more. And you know what? I really wish I knew what it was. See, that's exactly what Solomon has seen. He's kind of lifted the veil and saw, wow, it really is meaningless to pursue this life and this life only because you're made for something so much more. Now, one thing we got to know about Solomon is he's going to kind of take this experiment to pursue life under the sun apart from God, and he's going to chase down and see, can life have meaning apart from God? Can I be satisfied just in money and fame and girls and whatever it is? But here's what I want us to notice. King Solomon has the resources, the power, and the time to actually take this endeavor. He's got all the money he could ever want. He's got all the power he could ever want. And he's got all the time he could ever need to invest completely in just self-indulgence to see if it can really make him happy. You see, all of us in here, in some way, we're kind of pursuing that. Like, if I can just get that new gadget, I'll be happy. Guess what? Solomon has unlimited money. I mean, imagine right now, if you had unlimited money, would it make you happy? Half of you said yes. Yeah, it would. No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. You're saying yes, it would. That's what Tom Brady would have said. But he's got it all. And with all the money comes not fullness, it's emptiness. Because money is not God. And it can't fill your heart. See, Solomon, he's got all the money, all the time, all the resources, everything he could ever want. And he gets to the end of it and he says, man, I don't have it. I mean, have you ever thought about why every celebrity, just read about them. Just watch their life for more than like 2 years. What happens? It just spirals, right? I mean, one moment it's like Hannah Montana. The next moment it's like, what? It just does that. I mean, it's this vicious cycle of money, fame, popularity. It's all going to make me happy, and it doesn't. It's this curtain that leaves you empty, and it's sad. And you are living under the illusion that if you got there, you would be happy. And I think that's the illusion that kind of keeps us. We're kind of on the bottom looking up. If I could get there, I'd be happy. And the people that are up there are saying, we're in rehab. Like, we got problems. We're on drugs because we can't cope with life because we're up here on the mountain looking down saying, there's nothing up here. It's just empty vapors. There's nothing here. We're up to the mountain and it's nowhere to be found. That's where Solomon's at. He's at the top of the mountain looking down at all the people trying to climb the mountain. He's saying, look, I've seen it. There's nothing here. Life is not going to fulfill you living in the things you think it's going to fulfill you in. Life without God, it's empty. So he's going to say, and he kind of goes on a rant here, and he talks about his life. He says, look, a generation goes and a generation comes. He says, here's what life's about. You're born, you live your life, you have babies, then you die. And then your babies have babies and they die. It's this circle of life, but guess what? The earth remains forever. You know what I was thinking today? Think about the plot of land that you live on, whether it's like, you know, half an acre or 20 acres, whatever it is. Think about how many people have lived on that plot of land before you. How many hundreds, if not thousands of people have lived on that same plot of land? You don't know them, you never will. And guess what? In a few generations, no one will know you live there. It's just a cycle. See, look, in life, it's like we're born, we have a good time, and then we die. But it's like life, it's a vapor. It passes through. It's fleeting. That's one of his arguments with life. Man, it's fleeting. It's just here, and then it's there. And he says, man, life, it goes around and around, but we don't ever get anywhere. He uses the sun. He says the sun, it gets up in the morning, spins around, it goes to the night, and then it hastens its way back to the morning and goes back. And it's just round and round and round. The wind, it blows round and round and round. What does the rivers do? They flow to the sea, and then they never fill the sea. Like, it's kind of like a cruel joke. Like, we're making our way to the sea. Nothing happened. We'll go back. Let's go again. Nothing happened. Let's go back. It's like the sea's never getting full. And he's looking at these things. He says, man, that's our life. Like, we're working really hard and we're doing all these things. And you know what our life is? We're like a little hamster in a hamster wheel. Like, we're going. Man, this is awesome. I'm doing my homework, getting a good grade. I'm going good. Like, this is awesome. Get my career. I got married. Woo! And then we start doing flips. Like, yeah. And then we look around. It's like, we're in the same place. Like, this is, we're not going anywhere. We're not doing anything. And that's what he says about life. He says, man, for generations, for thousands of years, people have been doing the same things, and we really haven't gotten anywhere. We're kind of doing the same things over and over again. It's like this critique. It's like, and he says, and the real problem is that life, it doesn't satisfy. He says, our eyes are not satisfied with seeing, and our ears are not satisfied with hearing. So what we think is, man, if we see that new thing, If we hear that new song, then it'll satisfy us. But it doesn't. It gets old. We want something new. But the problem is, the other thing with life that Solomon really saw is life, it's really boring. It's just boring. I mean, and I can tell you're bored just by reading like tweets and following stuff. It's like, bored again. Somebody tweet me, I'm bored. Like, another picture of nothing, right? It's like, we're just, man. And what we're looking for is what? Something new. I want something new. You know what Solomon says? There's nothing new. Nothing new under the sun. But you're like, yeah, there is. Like, social media, that's new. That wasn't around when he wrote this book. But you see, what's under social media was around. This desire that if you have all the friends in the world, you'll be happy. That's been going on since the dawn of time. And the more friends you have, the more trouble you have. And it doesn't necessarily make you more happy. It's just more drama, right? When you're connected to everyone, it's like, man, I just got more worry now. Well, but the internet, that's new. Yeah, but the pursuit of knowledge to make you happy, it's not new. I mean, Google has been something that people have been trying to get to forever. Just more knowledge, more books, more reading, more knowledge. It'll make me happy, but it doesn't. All those things, it's endless. He says, the problem is, we're looking for something new, that thing that can satisfy our hearts, but we can't find it because there's nothing new under the sun. And then he kind of ends his little rant by saying, you know what's really troubling to me is that our memory is going to be forgotten. We're going to be forgotten. You know what's true? You'll be forgotten and I'll be forgotten. You know, I was thinking through this, and here I've got a question for you. How many know the name of your great, great granddad? Think about that. Like three people. How many know the name of your great, 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 great granddad? I don't even know I had that many greats, right? Now think about this. I was thinking like, okay, I don't know my great-great-granddad's name. I know like my great, but I don't know my great-great. And I was thinking about Kreider. That's Kreider's son's son sons. That's four generations from me. They're not going to know my name. As much as I'm investing in Kreider, his four sons down are not going to know my name. Like, at least know my name. Like, I'm Corey. You're here because of me. Remember that. I'm going to write that down somewhere. Make them memorize it. They won't. They'll forget it. He was just some old quack guy. I don't care. But that's the truth. Think about that. You've forgotten the people in front of you and behind you, and they're all going to forget you. You see his trouble here? He's like, hey, I'm trying to find happiness in this life, meaning in this life, but man, it's just troubling. We're all in hamster cages, just running around doing a lot of things. We're not accomplishing anything. We're kind of like the sun and the streams, and we're all going to be gone. We're all going to be forgotten. This life is fleeting. We all have like 70 to 80 to 100 years, and then it's all gone. It's all over. We go to the dust. Game over. And you people are saying, man, I'm loving life. Just live a little bit. You won't love it. It'll get hard and it'll get harder and you'll meet the reality that life is really, really tough. And you'll see through the veil that life really is very hard and it's meaningless. It's all vain. So what do we do with this? Like, where do we go from here? Well, the application would be stop living life under the sun. See, all that perspective is without God. Let's take God out and let's just live it up. It doesn't work. You can't find happiness and meaning and fulfillment apart from a relationship with the God who created you. That's the whole premise. With a relationship with the God who created you, you can enjoy life. Even though, yes, it's messed up, you can trust God that he's in control, that he's got it. You don't have to worry about it. And you really can eat and be merry and have a good time because you have a relationship with the God who created you. That's really the big idea with this whole series. Without God, your life is meaningless and empty. You can try to fill it all you want, but you'll be like Tom Brady. When you get to the top of the mountain, you'll look down and say, man, it was a sham. I'm up here, but there's nothing here. I need something more. And I want to show this last statement that he makes. He says this: what is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. He says, man, life's hard, it's all broken, and nothing's going to fix it. We're all doomed. Now I want to just read from Luke chapter 3. Here's what Luke chapter 3 says. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Listen to this. And the crooked shall become straight. And the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In other words, Solomon was not thinking about the gospel. See, Solomon, in this moment, he missed the gospel. Life's broken. It's all sham. It's all meaningless. But see, wasn't accounting the Messiah who was to come, who was going to reverse the brokenness, to reverse the curse. Because there was one coming named Jesus Christ who was going to make all the crooked ways straight. He was going to take this meaningless life that we're living under the sun, and he was going to give us meaning. Because yes, it's broken, but it's not because God has put us in a bad place. It's because we got ourselves in a bad place through the fall. In the beginning, it was perfect. And the reason we're dissatisfied with the world like it is because our hearts remember paradise. We remember perfection. We remember when everything was good. And something about our heart screams when there's injustice. Something in our heart screams that there's got to be something more. And the truth is, there is something more. That's why Jesus came and bled on a cross, so that he could start a new kingdom that would be forevermore. He's taken all the brokenness, and he's taken it, and he's washing it all away, and he's fixing it. He's taken all the crookedness in your life and in this world, and he's making it all straight. See, all that meaningless that we see all around us, Jesus is taking it, and he's fixing it, and he's rolling out new paradise. And the only way you're going to find meaning is if you understand the gospel. The only way you can see people suffering around you, yourself suffering around you, the only way you can see this world in all of its brokenness and have joy and peace is if you understand the gospel. That yes, there's a problem, but more than that, there's a solution. His name is King Jesus, and he is making everything right. And true life, true fulfilled life, is only through a relationship with him. So as we go through this book, it's going to be kind of confusing at times, but here's our navigation beacons, okay? A lot of the time, Solomon is going to be talking about life under the sun. He's going to take God out and say, all right, let's pursue money. Let's do it. Let's have fun. He gets to the end of it and says, well, got a lot of receipts, but I don't have a lot of satisfaction. I don't have a lot of joy. He's going to take all of these roads that we think lead to happiness. He's going to walk down them. And he's going to pull the veil back and say, guess what, folks? There's not happiness at the end. There's not satisfaction at the end. And the whole summary of the book is, here's what life's about. Fear God and obey his commandments. fear, trust the Lord and walk in His way, because it's only in His way, it's only knowing and understanding and living in the gospel that we can turn from being empty to truly being full. So I pray that you would invest in the next few months as we start this journey down all the roads that the world is telling you to travel down. We're going to go down them, we're going to explore them, and I promise you, at the end of every one, there's going to be emptiness rather than satisfaction. And at every dead end, I pray that you would see Jesus. You would see Him as the all-satisfying one who you desperately need. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we will be dismissed here in a few moments. Father God, I thank you tonight as we have hopefully lifted the veil just a little bit on this world and how we often think it's this world satisfies us and it fills our hearts. And the truth is it doesn't. It leaves us broken. We can only have true satisfaction if we have a life lived in your presence, in a relationship with you. Because God, life apart from you, it's empty. God, help us to feel that and know that, that life without God is empty. Let us see that, and let us turn from all those idols to the one true God, and let us worship you in spirit and in truth. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.